T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our buddy Zach Meisel recently wrote a trade deadline article today where he interviewed Francisco Lindor, also an interview with Mike Chernoff as well recently. Zach, how you doing, man? I know you just had some dental work today. You still numbed up?
Yeah, I am. And I just ran into Tom Hamilton and said, hey, you know, since you talk for a living, what advice would you give me since my mouth is numb from the dentist and I'm about to go on the radio? And he said, oh, I have some advice. Schedule your dentist appointment earlier in the day.
That's good advice.
Hey, listen, you sound great. You don't sound like
no, you don't sound off.
Sound fine.
It's taking some contortion of my tongue, I think.
What did you have done? Some fillings or what?
Yeah, they had a filling replaced. Oh, had geez. some pain in there. So.
Oof. That's awful. I hope you
feel better.
And that numbness is so disorienting.
I
can't stand
like
that when you can.
Like the side of your tongue's numb too?
It's all weird.
That's the worst. Mm-hmm.
You'll be back to normal in a minute. But Zach, you know, we referenced your article earlier today, and I thought that quote right in the beginning of your article from Francisco Lindor, where he specifically says, yeah, we should be getting a right-handed bat. Like, that was kind of eye-opening in a way. He's kind of saying to the front office, hey, let's get something done here. Which you don't usually see players go to. He didn't mention anybody specifically, but players don't usually give you any specifics. Were you surprised when he said that?
Yeah, I think if what the team had done the first 6-8 weeks of the season had persisted longer, you wouldn't have had to explain yourself if you trade Trevor Bauer or Brad Hand. I think that's changed. We're now. The guys in that clubhouse believe in what they're doing. You know, I think all the cliches about hitting is contagious, winning is contagious. I think it's gotten to the point where, like, those guys, they want that backing. Players want to know the front office believes in them. And I think that makes things a little bit trickier. I think it adds a wrinkle. And, I mean, I asked Mike Chernoff that. I said, do you have to consider the feelings of the guys in the clubhouse when you make a trade? And he said, yeah, you know, it's something we have to consider. We want to keep them motivated, and, you know, they're playing their rear ends off right now. And so it's going to be interesting. You know, it still depends on certainly the package you get back, the package you're required to give up if you add a guy. So it's interesting, but it's clearly the players feel a certain way, and you have to take that into account.
You know, obviously, with the stuff Lindor said there, and Bull referenced it, that he said to you guys, or to you, do you think that puts pressure on the front office?
Probably not, just because I don't think it's surprising to them. I think they know. I mean, they're 54-40. Like, that's a pretty good record. And so if you I think the thing that puts pressure on them is maybe if they stand pat, maybe that wouldn't go over well. But, like, I think, you know, if they're going to trade Trevor Bauer, they're probably going to do it in a deal that's going to bring back someone they would plug into the middle of their lineup anyway. So, like, that's not necessarily selling, and that's not waving a white flag. Now,
Zach, I disagree. I got to disagree with you here, because I've heard a few people say this, and I just don't see it. What team that's a contender that needs Trevor Bauer is giving up a bat that's going to be of equal talent, if you will, at that position? I don't see it. They might get a bat for Bauer that makes their lineup better than it is now, but no way that's going to overtake the negative for the pitch. I don't see how it can.
No, but I'm telling you what the front office is going to tell the players.
Okay, that's fair. That's said, fair.
They've said, like, they are confident in their ability to assure the team that this is not waving a white flag. And the question I have, and what I was going to say is, the issue with this, with a Bauer trade in general, is the teams that can give you the best return are the teams you don't want to deal into. You don't want to send them to the Yankees. You don't want to send them to the Astros. And so it's,
Good point.
It's why I think they want to move Bauer. I think they're motivated to do so, but I just think this is so difficult. And it's even, you know, it was difficult over the winter to do the same thing. And Bauer's obviously still a member of the team. And it's even more difficult now because teams are clearly either in contention or they're not. So your potential trade partners has taken a hit. So I think the whole situation is messy and it's challenging. And there are so many different tentacles to this that the front office has to consider. And one of those is what the guys in the clubhouse feel about it.
How do they feel about Plesac?
I honestly think they're surprised. They'll never use the word surprised because it makes them seem like they were unprepared, but I think they're pleasantly surprised by what he's been able to accomplish. I think there might be some regression in there and a learning curve here, but you know, like they didn't know he was going to be able to throw 96, and he's always had really good command. And so there's potential for middle of the rotation type ceiling there, but you know, is he ready to play an integral role here down the stretch if you do trade Bauer? I don't know. You'd probably feel more comfortable about trading Bauer if you had Kluber healthy and performing, if you knew if Carrasco could help you out, if you knew Danny Salazar could do anything. So it's tough. You know, how much you can't put too big of expectations on, yeah, on rookies who have never done it.
Yeah, and it is a tricky spot. All the things you said are right. You're right that the front office will try to sell that to the team if they trade Bauer for a hitter. I agree with you. I don't buy it, but I agree they'll try to sell it. Like, for example, and you talk, it's a great point. You talk about they trade him to the Yankees. Let's say they trade him to the Yankees, get Clint Frazier as part of the deal. Let's say they trade him to the Astros and get, you know, Kyle Tucker as part of the deal. You know, they're both good prospects, and obviously Frazier has had some success in the big leagues. But I don't think a trade of Bauer for either of those guys means they've closed the gap on the Astros. I think the gap is widened. Do you think?
The thing that makes this so tough is that, and you hear it all the time, the front office is going to say this over and over again for the next couple of weeks, that they have to think about 2020 and beyond with every decision they make right now. The problem with this is, let's say they hold on to Bauer. Well, his trade value takes a hit. You can still try to deal him over the winter, but you almost have to because there's no savior at AAA who can come in and be your cleanup hitter or your number five hitter. There's no second baseman in the system who's ready right now to do a lot more than what Jason Kipnis has given you. So you have to make a trade at some point to add hitting. They're not going to be big players in free agency. We know that. So this is the way to do it. It's just, do you do it now when Bauer has a little more trade value?
Yeah.
Do you wait till the winter when that trade value takes a hit? Are you going to get the offers? Like, the Padres would have been a perfect fit. They have tons of young MLB-ready hitting they could have given you. Unfortunately, they've been in a downward spiral, and Bauer doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for them now. So it's really tough to find a perfect match, and I think that's kind of what the front office is sorting through right now.
We're talking with Zach Meisel, talking Tribe. I think you wait. Listen, again, we still got a couple of weeks or almost 2 weeks to see what happens. But with the way they're playing right now, Zach, they're only four games out. You're playing these just absolutely embarrassed AAA teams here in the Royals, the Blue Jays, the Tigers. One more with the Tigers. Meanwhile, the Twins, who are scuffling, play Oakland and the Yankees this week. It's not unrealistic. I can't believe how quickly this has happened. The Indians could easily be within a game or two or even tied. I don't think that's unreasonable to think that's possible by the time you get to that Astro series on July the 30th. And if that's the case, to me, it would be criminal to trade Bauer. I get what you're saying, that they eventually have to look at 2020 to some degree. But you never know, Zach. You know this well. You never know how many chances you're going to have to make the playoffs. And you can think about 2020 all you want. Doesn't mean they're going to be any good then. If they're good now, if they have a chance to be good now, I don't think you'd just give up in the offseason. Yeah, you could trade Bauer because hopefully Kluber's healthy and hopefully Carrasco's healthy, and you go into next season with a good enough rotation that you could lose Bauer. Yeah, his value goes down some. I don't know that it goes down so much that it's worth, I think, sort of blowing up the season.
These are the exact deliberations they're having. And I think I'm not necessarily contradicting myself. I don't even know if I have an opinion on what they should do at the moment because, like you said, things have changed so quickly.
Yes.
And a lot more could change in the next 2 weeks. And the Indians have a really tough schedule in August, and things might change more then. But an interesting point you're alluding to, like if you make the trade now with an eye on 2020, well, it's not like the Astros and Yankees aren't going to find ways to get better next
That's
year.
That's right.
Too. I mean, you can try to close the gap, but they can still widen the gap. I mean, it's a lot can change. So it's really tough to do what they've wanted to do. I respect the fact that they refuse to go into one of those tanking rebuilds that drive away fans and take years and years and have no guarantee of panning out at the end. They're trying to transition from one core group to the next without having to take a step back. It's really, really hard to do, and the jury's still out on if it'll work. But you know, these are the kinds of decisions you have to make if you want to do that. They've kind of put themselves in this position. So who knows? It's going to be a crazy 2 weeks. I know that.
Hey, Zach, let's get an update on the pitchers here. I mean, Kluber, you got Carrasco, and I really am curious about Danny Salazar, who's had a couple of rehab starts down in AA Akron. What's the update there?
Yeah, so Salazar's got, I think it's like 12 or 13 more days. I'm guessing two or three more starts in the minors, and then they'll probably bring him up. And so they'll probably plug him into the rotation. They like him pitching every 5 days. They don't think it takes as much of a toll on his arm as, you know, if he was in the bullpen and didn't know when he would pitch, didn't know how long he'd have to warm up, stuff like that, that he's not used to. So he's not going to be throwing 95 pitches every 5 days, but I think if you can get four or five innings out of him, that's kind of what they're looking for. Kluber he came through fine with his bullpen session. He's going to throw another one this weekend. They're optimistic there. I mean, it's probably a couple weeks of this before he could start a rehab assignment, and then he'd make a few starts, and then you could get him back. So it probably puts you, late August maybe? And Carrasco, it's weird. You know, I think he was throwing a bullpen session this afternoon, and he's still here every day, like working hard and doing all the things as if he were in the rotation. It's just a matter of, you know, with everything he's going through and the treatment and the, you know, the side effects, stuff like that, you know, it's hard to map out like, okay, what could he handle and what could he provide? You don't want to push him too hard or place any expectations on him. So that's just kind of still up in the air, but they're just letting him throw as normal.
We're talking with Zach Meisel. He's done great work, especially recently here with the article with interviewing Mike Chernoff, the stuff with Francisco Lindor that we referenced earlier, where Lindor was quoted as saying the Indians need a right-handed bat. You know, you said earlier, getting back to Bauer for a minute, Zach, you said earlier that you feel like the Indians are motivated to move Bauer. And after, you know, reading your article with your interview with Mike Chernoff, that came through. Why is it that you think they're motivated to move him?
I just think they look at this and they say, okay, everyone can see the lineup is far from perfect. You know, Jason Kipnis is still batting fourth most days. That's an issue. And so,
is he the worst player in the lineup right now?
I mean, Naquin's been so good lately. Yeah. Bowers has been better. Ramirez has been Ramirez. Yeah, I think so.
It's weird that he's batting cleanup. I don't get it. I think he stinks.
Yeah. There's going to be an ugly spot no matter how you organize it, but I think they recognize we have to add young hitting somehow. They don't have a lot in the upper minors. They've got plenty of pitching. They feel like they can survive if they trade Bauer, especially if guys get healthy. It's a risk. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from Kluber. You don't know if Plesac's going to regress. You don't know if, you know, maybe Bieber takes a little step back at some point. Like, you don't know these things. So there's risk either way, but I think they feel like we have to find a way to add hitting because we're not going to be able to add it this winter unless we trade him. And if we trade him now, he has a little more value. Maybe we can get more. But again, I mean, it still boils down to the offers you get. And I don't think there's a guarantee. You know, everyone says, like, they point to these attractive 23-year-old kids who put up big minors at AAA. And it's like, I don't think it's a slam dunk that those teams part with those players.
That's right. Two things here, last to wrap it up. One, let's talk a little bit about Bobby Bradley getting sent to the minors. I wouldn't have done it after 2 weeks, but, you know, whatever. I know he was struggling. And the second thing, a year from now, assuming he continues to play great in the minors, could Nolan Jones be on the roster a year from now?
Yeah. So Bobby Bradley, it's pretty simple. I mean, he even admitted it. Like, he needs to be able to recognize when pitchers are throwing him off speed stuff, because everybody in the world knows he can hit a fastball 460 feet. But it's the off speed. You know, can you hit, if they're just going to throw you nonstop breaking balls, can you handle that? Can you make adjustments? So, yeah, I don't think sending him to AAA is necessarily going to help him, and I don't think it's necessarily a long-term answer here, because he proved he can crush anything AAA pitchers give him. But he'll be back up at some point, and I'm sure just each taste of the major leagues you learn a little bit from. With Nolan Jones, I mean, they're enamored with him. He's made strides defensively at third base. There was some question on whether he could stick there. They're hopeful that he can. He's a big dude, former hockey player, so he's tough. And he walks a ton. On-base percentage, last I looked, I want to say it was like 430 or 440.
Yeah.
And he's got some power potential, too. Could be a guy who hits like 20 home runs or so. So he hits for average, high on-base percentage, power's blossoming. He's still really young, plays a premium position. Yeah, I mean, he's off to a good start at AA. I would think he could get to AAA at some point next season, and then once you get there, I don't think it's unrealistic to think he could be a part of the major leagues.
I mean, I think maybe by June he's playing third, Ramirez is playing second, and, you know, we'll see. Zach, keep up the great work, man. Thanks for joining
us. Zach. Heal up, buddy.
You got it, guys. I can start to feel my mouth now.
There you go.
Nice. Zach Meisel.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.